AI traders and investors out there, thanks for joining me once again. This is Trade Doc and Thoughts and Trading. Segment's called Eye on the Market, where I go over a list of 32 ETFs to trade options on. But lately, I've just been doing earnings. So haven't been that active, just putting like two or three earnings trade a week. And so far, they're doing awesome. As far as any long-term, have been nibbling in, buying mostly basic materials, I could say. A little bit of emerging markets started on Friday. Started buying some emerging markets, ETFs on Friday for long-term, but not much for the long-term. Just mostly liquid, in and out of trades. So last week, I closed out the trade on 3M. Well, a couple things happened last week. So I had earnings trade on 3M, CAR, which was Avis Rental, RRC, which was Range Resources. I had one on Juniper and iRobot. So they all came in nice. First one was 3M that I closed out on Thursday. So I had opened it on Monday afternoon as it was coming up. We're looking just before the earnings, and they beat on earnings and went up. I had some kind of like a little bit of negative delta on that. So Monday and Tuesday, I was down on the position. Thursday came along and 3M started coming down, and I made over like 100% on that position. I remember I changed my sell limit, but then looking at it now, I'm just looking at the chart that if I would have held on until Friday, I would have hit like 100% max gain pretty much on the position. I had a butterfly going on with 3M's where I bought the 150s and the 145s, and I sold the 150. I bought the 155 and the 145s, and I sold two 150 puts. So they were all puts. And I don't have it, so I don't know exactly how much I paid for it, but I know it was like over 100% on when I closed it out. Next one was Avis, and that was a quick one. Opened up buying some puts at the end of the day on Thursday, closed them out on Friday morning. But if I would have held on till the afternoon, I probably would have gotten another 100% on that position. But I took 50% profit on that, just buying the puts. I think they were down 10 or 11% when I had sold them. The next one was RRC, and that didn't come in as I thought. I thought this was going to retrace a lot more. They've been extended, like if you look at the long-term chart. So that was the trade. I was trading the extreme extended strategy on that. Pretty much caught the top. But coming in the next day, I seen that it had dropped in the pre-market, but then shot up after that. So then I just closed out, sold the puts. I bought them for 45s and closed them for 50. So it was like not a big profit, not what I was looking for. But still keeping my eye at RRC. That was like an earnings. They came out with earnings and it was negative. And, they kind of stabilized for the rest of the day. So it's hard to say right now. They can go either way. But as for now, on the long-term chart, they are a little extended. That was kind of like an extend the same type of trade where I'm selling into the next retracement. Next one was Juniper, and I got two positions. I closed one on Thursday, and then the last one was on Friday. So I ended up getting assigned on. So this is a good example, actually. So I had a calendar going on, and I got assigned on the puts for like the 24s. I think I had the 24 put. I had a 24 put calendar. I remember I had a 22, but I had closed that one out when I hit the profit. I got assigned. So right away, comes Friday morning. So this was the whole thing on Friday morning, but I took care of it real quick. Luckily, Juniper was able to go up, and it actually kept moving up pretty good. I sold my last batch at like, it was like the 2170s, and they had pushed a little higher on that day. Yeah, they got up to 2230s, and then they gave it all back, closing the day at 2160. But this is a good example here. So I got assigned on the short puts at 24. So I was margin called early in the morning. So I was able to do is sell 80 out of the 100 that I had. I sold 80 shares, which cleared me up. After that, I was able to sell the put I had for next week because it was a calendar. So this is what's nice about the calls. I've done it a couple times. This one, it just worked out really nice. So at the end, I was up. Even though I got assigned, I was up like $300. Plus, I let those 20 ride, and those 20 shares that I had, I let that go up, and I closed it out, you know, not at the highs, but at 2176, around there. The highs on the day was 2220, so I could have held on a little longer, but that was early in the morning, and I wanted to clear out that margin call. After that, pretty much all gone. Then I could trade. I traded the rest of the day, but mostly just closing out the positions. I didn't place any new trades, kind of looking, because I actually had, my account was up so much, I didn't want to add any trades because I wasn't in that looking for trade zone. I was more like closing out, taking profits, seeing if it's worth me holding on to a few things. So the last one was iRobot. So iRobot closed out on Friday. I actually did it on the chart here. I don't have it where I closed out. So iRobot was a tricky one. I had verticals that needed iRobot to stay below 50. And I mean below 60, that's what it was. So I think it was Thursday, it came down below 60. And it just stayed there. But early in the week, I was up. So I was just, you know, but I'm waiting for the theta to decay. So I had some credit spreads, some call credit spreads. I think the 60s and I had the 60s and the 50. No, I had the 60s and the 61s. That I opened up at the end of the day on Friday. The very end of the day, I didn't even think I'd get filled when the price was 61.55. Price was 61.55. I sold some credit spreads. This is the same structure here. This is the ones that I like to trade, actually. I don't have to be in it long. So these are like the extremes. So if you look at Friday, that structure that the chart did where it moves way up, it retests the open and then just keeps on moving up and up and up and up, and there's no retest at all. And then the next day it came to retest first thing, you know, and it retested way lower than it retested around the 55s. And I remember I was like, man, I should have closed it early in the week, and I should have, because I wouldn't have to wait the whole week and to make the same amount of profit. So I did that twice, and I didn't open up no other trades. I was kind of tracking. And Friday stayed down. I left like $35 on the table, closing out those three positions. But that's, you know, that's just enough to, that's just kind of like insurance, I guess you could say, insurance to keep your profits. The other one was Avis, C-A-R. So in Avis, I opened up, I bought a put for 260. And I sold it for 310. But that was it. It was like, I opened it at around 3:30 on Thursday, closed it at 9:45 on Friday. So I wasn't in very long, but I could have probably made a little bit more if I would have held on. But again, holding naked puts, naked options, that's just the decay factor. So I don't like holding naked puts too long. But it definitely made the move that I was expecting if I would have held it. But that's another one that left a lot of money on the table. Actually, let me see what the price is now. I know it's probably not going to say the real price, but just curious. So mostly in the trading, the options. So I had the 16s. The ask is 330, and the bid is 300, and I had sold it for 310. So that's not that bad. I mean, that's what I'm saying, the theta decay. Even though the price came down like that, it came all the way down to 1350. When I sold it, the price was 15. This came all the way down to 1350. And the options price, no, I had the 17s actually. That's the ones I bought, the 17s. So it's 370. So, but still, they're going for 370 now. I sold it for 310, so I missed out like another 50 bucks. But you know, with that move right there, the theta decay just went. So, I mean, it definitely did. I definitely could have held it on until the afternoon, and probably it would have been maybe 400. But hey, now I know. But I still wouldn't have done anything different. I sold it on the first like uptick, and since that's what I was expecting, that was it. And they're not even coming out with earnings. I want to trade their earnings that are coming out pretty soon, actually. Let's see. The earnings. Let's see, they retraced pretty hard. So the earnings are tomorrow. So after market tomorrow is when their earnings are coming out. So this structure here, I mean, I could probably trade this all the way to 770. That's ticker 7, C-A-R, which is Avis. Car rental, you know, like the car, Avis Budget Group. That's what it is. Anyways, I've spent 15 minutes analyzing the last trades that I made. So let's just get into it. Hope you got something from there, just because, you know, having the earnings as a catalyst just makes it better, especially since I'm not like swing trading a lot. I'm just strictly just doing the earnings. It just keeps me, I don't have to think a lot about things. It's just these two or three plays and this certain outcome, and that's it. I'm just trading that. So I feel a little comfortable, more comfortable doing that. But I'm kind of liking this chart. And Avis can go, and it has a potential. As far as the structure goes, it could drift. But I think it's already, that's the whole reason I got into the trade. I think it's already done an extreme, breakout. So it already broke out. Now it's got to see it's going to sustain this level. But I doubt it. And it could retrace to the bottom of the structure, which is around $8. So, midpoint would be like $12.30s. $12 around there, $12.50, $12.60s around there. That's like the midpoint of it. If it doesn't hold the $12, if it goes to 11, if it doesn't hold like $10, then yeah, definitely going down to 8. But right now it's trading at 14, so there's still a good opportunity there. I'd like to get wide on it. Like, I like to trade anything down from like 13, 15 down, that's kind of like the safety trade. Probably find something like a butterfly at around $9, $9.50, $10. But hey, they get bailed out, it changes everything, So that's what's going on with CAR car. Let's just go back into it. This is the broad 32. I'm going to do this in about 15 minutes because I don't want this to go long. USO trading at 1886. That's oil, which is trading at 1969. I'm glad oil, the future, hasn't done a reverse split. That sucks. But anyways, I'm along IUSO, figuring that's the covered call strategy. Oil, we're talking about the futures, can come back down to 1350s, but if it goes below 1350, then it's going to be negative. But either way, I don't mind nibbling into the oil market at the zero point. Next is XOP, and you can see the XOP just blasted off. Like I had last week, I said that they'd go and maybe retest the 51s, but they actually went as high as 54, 55s. So it's good performance for XOP. That's the oil miners trading. Oil Explorers trading at 50. Next is IOH. And this is the one that I've been rooting for. But IOH is looking like a bear flag here. So, it's got to break 11, the 116s. I remember when IOH was $10. Then it went to $2, I think. Now it's $195. As far as the companies in there, they actually did make a higher low. So that's a good sign, I guess you could say. That's just taking the major companies in here. But they are making a higher low on it. So probably look at OIH continue sideways to the upside. UNG, natural gas, kind of testing this here. I mean, natural gas could be reversing what I'm looking at. I mean, it's looking pretty good. But if it breaks below 1260, then it's definitely going to go down. So 1260 would be the mark that it doesn't want to break. And last, like maybe 2 weeks ago, I did the YouTube thing, and it's just, I'm not setting it up yet. I'm not ready. Not ready. Next is XLE, and they're branching out. Call this the branch out. So here they're going to see a little bit of downside and maybe a reversal. So look for a little bit more downside in XLE early in the week. Maybe they'll end up flat by the end of the week. But XLE, looking for some consolidation, even a little bit of negative momentum. Next is XLU, and they're kind of retesting right now, breaking some lows, probably looking to retest the 5360s. XLI, industrial sector, is kind of branching out as well. There could be a chance of a retest back down to 56, but still looks good off the rebound. Next is the material sector, and they have a pretty strong slope going. So material sector, I've been bullish on it, not really in it. Not swing trading. I want to see a hard, strong reversal like this supposed to happen. Next is mining sector, down 2%, trading at 1890. I haven't been in it in a while. So, see, looking for that to continue to branch out. Next is XBI. They made an all-time high of 99.77. Well, not an all-time high. They're a little higher than that, but actually, that was an all-time high of 99.77. So XBI just hitting that by highs. Retraced back down last week, trading at 90.83. I see some more consolidation, even some more downside for that. Also for the healthcare sector, XLV, I see some consolidation and even some downward momentum with XLV. So that's what's going on with that. Next is the retail sector. Nice double bottom at me. Now it's all branching out. Kind of like almost trying to complete another wave here. That structure is one that I would have shorted when I came in. Usually it bounces back down to, like, say, 33. And then some consolidation. Right now it's 35.66. Next is XLP, that's consumer staples. And they're kind of trending down, looking for a bounce. This could cut back down to like 55, 56. No, 56. Looking at Procter & Gamble, Walmart, Coke, and Pepsi. Could retest, come down another 8%. So, 8%. We could come back down to 53.67 for consumer staples. You see the consumer discretionary, XLY, retesting the top. Definitely looking for retracement this week. I mean, I see that definitely happen. So XLY can come back down to 104.70. Right now they're at 112.24. Next is semiconductors, SMH. They had a big draw now. Broke the structure. Where the test of the lows would be, but now they're trading in like a channel, so it's still in a channel. So if it moves down below like 126.70, then that's going to be more downward momentum. Right now is at, it is at 127.43. So you can see some more probably consolidation on Monday, Tuesday, and then some down momentum. So looking like the markets want to retrace at the moment. Next is IYR, and I'm seeing bad things happening with the real estate sector. So just nothing good at all. Yeah. lost, and it keeps losing hope by the day. But the real estate sector is going to be consolidating here, I'm sure, for a while. XLF, the banking, they're definitely going to consolidate, even roll over slowly. TLT was up 3/4% on Friday. But the bonds, kind of like the banks, like the upward, like the highest point they can get is 181. So that's going to be tough right now. It's what, at 167. Next is GLD. They're broken out, consolidating, making like a nice pennant. So GLD looking for a nice consolidation, more upside. GDX, they made all-time highs. So that's looking good because I like to short the gold miners. And looking like it's almost getting ready for that to happen. Next is the SPY, was down 2.5% on Friday, coming down below 85. So it just came down below a critical level. I said it needed the support above those 85 mark, which I've had before. So it just proved complete, because that rejection was pretty strong off the one of the 269s. Thursday and Friday were just like down. So it's kind of looking the same as the consumer discretionaries. It's kind of there where it just broke. It's a strong support area. So more consolidation, even a little more downside for the SPY. QQQ to NASDAQ looks a little bit better. Still holding that trend line. So looking towards the right direction. Small caps, looks like they just completed their wave and got rejected off it Thursday and Friday. They were down almost 4% on Friday, so these moves are pretty nice. I gotta start trading the majors again. I didn't trade the NASDAQ in probably like 2 weeks, but it's looking like it's gonna see some movement. It's just been boring. UVXY was up 13.5% on Friday, and so more looking to short volatility unless crazy things happen. But I think there's going to be crazy things happen, so I'll have another chance to short this. Right now it's trading at 47.60. Next is FXI. They just lost all support Thursday and Friday together. I just want to see what's the percentage, and I can't. From Thursday to Friday, they lost 8%. From Thursday's high to Friday. So, FXI, I'm not even long China anymore. Just because morale reasons, that sucks. But hey, I'm not long China no more. I don't hold no Chinese nothing, except for NIO. Actually, I trade NIO. I sell covered calls against it. That hasn't been doing great either. It's easy to sell calls though. But FXI, 37.27. INDA, India, which actually it's looking like good to go along with. It's kind of like found its support already, so it's trading at 26.22. I like to see this come back down and retest the 42, the 24.50s around there, and maybe pick some up. Volatility looks like it's picking up a little bit. I gotta put some tickers on here. I don't have no tickers for INDL. That's the only one I have, and I don't trade INDL. Next is RSX consolidation. Trading, gonna trade in the channel here. So I haven't traded RSX in a while. I haven't seen how liquid it is. Like I said, I've just been doing earnings. I don't feel the urge to like put in trades for like 45 days. I just don't want to have that anymore. EFA, nice rejection. Trading at 55.34. Came down since Wednesday. Down 2% on Friday. So some more consolidation, even some more downside. I mean, EFA really has it moved up from the bounce. They're up 23%. So from the bounce, well, now lower because the price is lower. But to the highs, they made it up to 23%. Now they're trading about 20% higher from the bounce. So EFA, I'd like to put some positions on. Maybe I'll start doing that again. Stop being lazy. Like these swing trades are the ones that, you know, I can't say K-Cup because I'm making pretty good percentages just doing earnings. So next is EEM. I said I bought into it on Thursday. Not into EEM, but some other long-term dividend-paying ETFs that has to do with emerging markets pretty much. They look like they're crossing. They never even made the support of the 40, so looking bad for emerging markets short-term anyways. It looked like they just got a little bit overstretched now coming down. Another one that was good was EWW. Early in the week, I did want to make the trade, and they broke out. And then Thursday and Friday, they came back, but they actually went to my target because I had, I kind of like mark it out before I put the trade on, and then I decided not to put the trade on because I was like, why am I going to do a swing trade, you know? But they actually would have made the mark, but since my option wouldn't have decayed as much and I would have looked for a little bit better, I'd be maybe down on the position a little bit or even just broken even at the moment. So, but with this bounce, say if there is a bounce early in the week in EWW, and if it happens in Mexico, it'll probably happen in a lot of other markets, then I would definitely go along with EWW. They kind of been basing out at the bottom here. I like the chart. It's kind of like a bottom feed. You know, we're talking about Mexico here. So I think I might have looked before and seen that's what it was. I didn't place a trade because I don't think Mexico was liquid enough for the strategy I wanted to do. And I was like, oh, this is stock buying. You have to buy, it's like you have to buy shares because the options just weren't not as liquid as I like anyways. Friday, it looked like it had a couple things going, but not as liquid as I like. So, I mean, I probably would have looked for other months to put them in. Let's see. For Mexico. I mean, the front month, the first 2 months are liquid. This is best you can do right there. Best you can do. And then the 45 day out one is kind of liquid as well. So yeah, it's kind of like either you buying stock or swing trading. And yeah, I probably wouldn't mind buying stock and doing like a covered call. If the volatility is high up, it's all right, actually. Just doing like a covered call strategy right here in EWW. I'd probably look to do that, actually, because I like the way it retraced on Thursday and Friday. You know, I'd have my stop, like, say, below, like, 26.30, around there. So Monday when it opens up, if it hits 26.30, go in there, and then like my stop, I wouldn't have a stop until like 24.75. That's like to retest the lows. Go ahead, retest the lows of 25, you know. But that's kind of the way I look at it, a rooster too, because I'm looking at it as a covered call trade. And then I'd buy the stock and I wouldn't sell the call until I see a move up, or I'd sell like just the front month call just for, let's say, like sell the 29 call that expires in 5 days. 29 call, that's pretty close. I'd rather sell like the 34 calls, but the 34 calls, there's no price on them. Nobody wants them. 34 calls going out a couple months now, and that's not what I like to do. You know, definitely not. I like to sell a covered call, say if I'm up on the position, say I buy it around here, around $29 to say, I'll sell the 30 calls if they're worth something. But the close up ones, you know, those are only 4 cents. So it's like, I don't know. Sometimes it's not worth it. Just like I'm looking at, like, all right, we have some volatility for the June 19th. Still, it's not worth it. You know, or just sell the puts. So like the 2850 puts. Actually, there's some premium in there. So probably here, EWW, I'm just looking to analyze because this is what I kind of looking. So probably just selling puts and sell a put. You know, you need 2,800 to cover it. Talking about a cash covered put, get 2,800, sell a 2,800, sell the 28 puts. You know, that'll give you 185, which is still not worth it. You know what I mean? Because you're not gonna use $2,800 to make $100. You know, or $200. So yeah, scratch it. If it's too hard to trade, to think about how to trade it, then scratch it. But here, I'd probably just go along with EWW, just buy some. If it moves down and gives me a bounce, then I'd definitely go along, or even see if there's a triple leverage. I saw MEXX, but I don't trade it. Last but not least, the one I haven't touched in a while is EWZ. It's the one I used to trade a lot, all the time. I think I like the structure. But since it failed me on that last swing, which pretty much hit everybody, I decided not to be in it for a while. But it is basing out. Could come back and retest the 2650s. Right now, it's trading at 2358. So probably, you know, I look at BRZU, so Brazu. Did like a covered call with that triple leverage, believe it or not. So EWZ, if it doesn't hold, maintain these prices, then probably see some downside. Anyways, thanks for being here. Good luck this week. Stay safe out there. I don't want to mention nothing about the disease that I'm sick of hearing about. So hey, businesses, you know, business is still good. Getting really busy, so it's still working. It's just more hurdles to jump over, you could say. But anyways, be safe out there. Peace. See you next week.